Exodus chapter number 15. Now, as you recall, remember over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at in great detail, really chapters number 7 through 11, these plagues that just over and over and over again, Moses being used of God was brought down upon Egypt. And then finally, after the last plague, after the firstborn of every house there in Egypt, those that did not have the blood of the lamb on their door, their firstborn was gone. And after this is when finally Pharaoh steps up to the plate. That's it. I've had enough. Take all your people. Take everything. No more compromising. No more deals. Everybody get out. And that's exactly what took place. Moses and all the Israelites, some 600,000 men, not including the women and children, then began to make this journey to Canaan by the way of the Red Sea. And through chapter number 14 is really where you're going to find that entire story of God's instructions to the Israelites. And then beginning right around verse number 5, we see where Pharaoh kind of is coming to his senses. What have I done? That's it. We got to get revenge. And so Pharaoh and Egypt begins to make pursuit then. And then the fear of the people in verse number 10, they say, Moses, look, you brought us out. We were going to die in Egypt, but you brought us out of Egypt, and now we're going to die outside of Egypt. And what have you done? They're going to kill us, and this is not good, and this is not fair. And yet, here in verse number 13, the salvation of the Lord comes in. And then we see in verse number 21 of chapter number 14, where Moses stretched out his hand, and man, the waters part, and they're able to cross over on dry land. And I'm just going to pause right here and say, I don't care what the National Geographic Channel says. I don't care what the History Channel says. I don't care what the naysayers say. If God says they walked across dry land, how many believe the Bible today? Amen? And this is a miracle. This is what God does. And then we see Pharaoh's army here at the end of this chapter is destroyed. And God is working in a great way. And now what they're going to do is they're going to begin to sing and they're going to start giving praise to God at this just incredible miracle that took place. Chapter number 15, would you look at verse number 1 with me? Chapter 15, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says this. Then, this is after they just saw, in verse number 31, the great works of the Lord. Then, the Bible says, sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. For the next couple of moments, I just want to preach on this subject. Let's stop and give praise. Let's stop and let's give praise. Father, thank you for time in the Word today. Lord, you're the only one that can move and guide and direct and convict, and that's what we ask for today. Father, I ask, Lord, that in a great way, we'd feel you here. We'd see you here in our midst. Father, we can walk into this place with a bad attitude and it affects others around us. We can come in with a scoffing attitude and it affects people around us. Or Father, we can come in with the attitude of these people that we just want to sing your praise. We want to honor and glorify you. Not in the flesh and not in the way that we see fit, but no, God, we just want to see you as you are. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we want to be convicted by your word, but God, most importantly, I ask that we desire to change where we need to change today. Father, we love you. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You and I, if we have been saved for any amount of time, comprehend that you and I know that God works and he works in great ways. God delivers his people through trials. The trials that you and I face in life each and every week. When we experience trials, and then when you and I experience the deliverance of God, our hearts are filled with joy, and our hearts are filled with rejoicing. Our hearts, listen very carefully, ought to be filled with praise. You see, God works in our lives, and God delivers you and I through struggles, through trials, through those down times of life that you and I see. And when you and I experience that, and when you and I have come to the other side through this storm that we've had, that's the moments that you and I begin to pause and begin to praise Him. And not just thankful one day a year on Thanksgiving, but throughout the entire year of 365 days, you and I pause and begin to experience that wonder and that awe and that miracle and that working that Jesus bestows upon our lives. You see, this is what happened to the Israelites. God's deliverance at the Red Sea was the most wonderful deliverance that Israel had ever experienced in their generation, but not only that, for many, many generations. And God knew this, therefore, in His infinite wisdom, He stirred Moses to record the praise of his heart, and you and I have it in the preserved Word of God today. This song, usually for many generations, was divided into stanzas, and it would be sung as this praise to God. It's awesome that even, we're not going to have time today, but even at the end of this chapter, in verses number 19 and 20 and 21, Moses' sister Miriam also led the women in singing and giving praise to God. And both songs, it's obvious that God's hand was in it and that we have it preserved today. Really probably two of the most, the oldest songs that are still recorded historically, you and I get to dive in and to look at. For just a moment, I want us to think about this. For the next couple of moments, this is, watch now, a song of praise. This is a song of praise. Look at verse number 1 and watch what the Bible says. It says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." You see, there's two reasons that are given for Israel breaking into this song. And we comprehend that, first of all, the Lord had gloriously triumphed on the behalf of His people. Watch now, what just took place really did happen. They saw time after time after time after time, 10 times, God work in a miraculous way against the gods, little g, of Egypt. And every time, God used Moses in a miraculous way. And now finally, Pharaoh's heart is broken, and he sends the people out. They go on their way, but they're pursued by this army that no doubt was going to overtake them and kill them and end it all right there. And they complain, and they're upset, and this fear falls upon them. There's nowhere to go. There's the Egyptians behind them, and there's this great Red Sea in front of them. They can't cross it. They can't go back. They can't compromise. There is no deal with Pharaoh at this point. And yet here is God continuing to work on their behalf, so they begin to sing. And the Lord was therefore worthy of praise of this renewed commitment that He gave to His people. Now look at verse number 2 and watch what it says. "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him." Now comprehend, listen to this for just a moment. Watch how personal the Lord was to the Israelite believer during these moments. The relationship with God at this time was very personal. You see, it says here, first of all, look at this verse number 2. It says, "The Lord is my," I want you to say that next word out loud, would you? "Strength." The Lord is my, say it one more time, strength. The Lord is my strength. That means this: no matter what trial confronts the believer, God strengthens the believer that is facing that trial. Now listen, you and I can look at this passage of Scripture and say, okay, good, great. Some old hymn is written, great, but we don't sing this hymn. And to be honest with you, what's chapter 15 in there anyways? Why is it for us? I'll tell you why it's for us. Because you and I still face trials and tribulations today. You and I still go through tough times. You and I still struggle with this body and this flesh and with sin. You and I still struggle physically, and this old body is rotting from the day that you and I are born. You and I still go through some very tough times. But no matter what you and I are going through, there is a God that is our strength. Whether it be problems or temptations or sufferings or evil persecution, the believer is weak within himself, but the Lord is always present with him. How many are thankful that you and I still have a God that is our strength today? Would you say amen? You know, there's many that we look to strength in everything else. We look to strength in medicine. We look to strength at Dr. So-and-so. We look at strength in our military. We look at strength in our finances, or our bank account, our 401k. We look at our strength and what, to be honest with you, how even the weather is outside. Friend, comprehend this. You and I need strength today. How many need strength? Say amen. We need it, but where are we going to find it? How do you and I get it? I gave this to our life stage group about a month and a half ago, and you and I looking for that renewed strength, that strength every day. It can be found through the prayer of God. The Bible says, in all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. You see, many Christians today lack strength because they are amiss in their prayer life where it is concerned. Prayer is the Christian's lifeline. Through prayer, you and I communicate with God. The Bible says, but in everything by prayer, let your requests be known unto God. Listen, friend, if you need strength today, that strength can be found in prayer to God. But it's amazing. Listen, I know I'm moving fast because I got to pause here in just a moment, but it is unbelievable to me that in a day and age where you and I struggle, we seek help from everybody else. We'll seek strength from a mom or a dad or a grandparent or a spouse. We'll get on and let all of Facebook know, or Instagram or TikTok, how we're feeling. We're going to seek strength. I need help, and boy, I need prayer, and I need this, and boy, I just need a miracle. And isn't it amazing that in a day and age where you and I hold the very word of God in our hand, that we're going to seek strength from everybody else, and the very person that we ought to be seeking strength from is the last person we go to. God forbid, friend, and we seek help from everybody else and forget that there is a God in heaven that is not interested in religion, but he is interested in a relationship with you and I, and that we need strength, and we'll seek it from Tylenol or ibuprofen, or we'll seek it from some blog or some TED talk. But friend, there is a God in heaven that says, I have the strength you need. You and I can seek that strength. We can have that strength every day. How? Through prayer, but we can also have it through the promises of God. The psalmist said it this way, listen, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. It says this, exceeding great and precious promises, by that they might be partakers of the divine nature. Understand this, you and I can call upon the promises of God for strength. Okay, now look. I'm trying to move fast, but all of a sudden I start looking around, and like some people are looking down. I don't know if you're on your phone or on your Bible, so this is where I'm just like, okay, well, let's take a time out. Let's dive into this for a moment. I'm not interested in just kind of coasting through a sermon and then being done. If we're not going to grow today, I'm going to ask us this, then why are we here? So let's take a time out. All of us need strength. Whether you want to agree or not, well, I'm 9 years old. Okay, well, there's coming a day very soon you're going to need strength. Trust me. Yesterday we helped a person move their house, and I was with Brother Mark Yider, and we were picking up some furniture. And all of a sudden, it's like we're starting to show our age. You know, where it used to be we just picked it up. We didn't even lift with our legs. You know, we just pick it up, and we talk while we're moving it. And, you know, nowadays we're like, okay, baby, here we go. 1, 2, 3, you know what I'm saying? And then we pick it up, and our eyes are this big, and I keep saying, you okay? Mark, you okay? You with me? He's like, oh, yeah, Pastor, I got it. And I knew he was hurting. He's lying to me. He was hurting, and I know it. But there's coming a day, Brother Yider, you and I, we need our strength. You're going to need strength. There's storms that come in a Christian's life. Let me tell you, death is not fun, friend. It's hard. A sin problem with a spouse or with a child or a teenager. Going through that, let me tell you something, friend. It's not easy. It's hard. Living through 2020, 2021, to be honest with you, I can't stand COVID. I hate it. I hate talking about it. I hate debating it. Everybody's got an opinion. Let me just put it this way. Over the last year and a half, you know what we have realized? We need strength to get through. We need it. There's mean people and mean-spirited people. There's mean Christians out there, friend. It's a tough life you and I are going through. So how are we going to get through? Well, let's hunker down and live in fear. And let's just, everybody's mean, and I don't know how I'm going to get through. And I prayed to God. I prayed to him 3 times, and he never came through. I just don't know what I'm going to do anymore. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to keep praying, but we're also going to recall the very promises of God. And he promised this, friend. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He promised you and I this. Check it out. This world is not our home. You and I are going home one day. This isn't our home. You want to be encouraged? You want strength? Think about this. In 100 years, nobody in here is going to be in here anymore. Well, how's that encouraging? I'm not sure, but it sounded really good. Let's hope just God's coming back. Oh, that's a good one right there. I didn't even write it down, but there's a promise in his word that he's coming back. Amen. How many are ready to see Jesus face to face? Amen. Whew. His promises. Prayer. There's also strength of praise to God. The psalmist said, but I will hope continually and I will yet praise. Listen, don't tune out here. The more I will go in strength of the Lord God. After saying, listen, that he would praise the Lord more and more, the psalmist said, I will go in the strength to God. You know what that means? That there is strength that comes from stopping and praising him. How is that possible? Think about it. How is it possible? Go through a hard time, lose someone in death, go through a tough time just to be told you've been given stage 4 cancer, going through a tough time, lost your job. How in the world can we gain strength from praising God? Here's how we do it. Because it, friend, check it out, it is a mindset change. All of a sudden, we're not thinking about the doctor. All of a sudden, we're not thinking about the anesthesiologist. All of a sudden, we're not thinking about death. When we praise God, we begin to count the blessings of that, what God has bestowed upon our life. It's a mindset change. But the world, the news, I'm just going to say it today, the news wants us to always concentrate on the negative. When you ever turn on the news and just heard, boy, you turn it off, and after about 10 minutes, you're like, wow, that was so encouraging. Said no one ever. It doesn't happen. Why, George? Because we get on there and it brings us down. To be honest with you, I'm on Instagram and I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. But there are times, friend, I just cannot even get on it. You know why? Negative. Negative, 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 negative. Down, friend. Oh, woe is me. This happened. I can't believe them. Let me tell you something, friend, for just a moment. There has to come a time in our life when we turn off the news and when we turn off Facebook and we turn off the negative friend or the negative mother-in-law or the negative father-in-law or the negative. Now, some of you are looking at me like, hey, whoa, whoa now. I'm not going to meddling. I'm just saying whatever's in your life, if you're convicted, that's not up to me. That's up to you, friend. I'm just saying there are negative people in our life. If somebody is constantly getting you down, praise God and praise God around them. And if they can't praise God with you, find a different friend. Because God, in praising him, gives us strength tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm just going to warn you. We're just going to take some people and let's just, hey, and Pastor Ann's going to have a microphone. We're going to go around and we're just going to give God praise. We're just going to say we're thankful. Now, I've been in services before, not at Cross Point. But Pastor Fogg, maybe if you've been there, we've had services before. We're just going to praise God. And somebody gets up there, woo, here's my moment. Let me take that microphone. Oh, woe is me. And I'd like to talk about a dissertation about how awful life is. And all of a sudden, the mood in the whole place is like, No, we ought to take this microphone and think about the God that sent his only begotten son and saved you and I, and you and I are eternally saved, and we're going to spend all of eternity with him day after day after day after day for a million years. Friend, is that not something to praise God for? Amen? You want strength? Oh, my friend, he will give you strength. But I want you to look at verse number 2. Look what it says here. It says this. It says, the Lord is my strength. Now watch, there's two words coming up here. I'm reading out of the King James version today. It says this, and the Lord is my strength and, say that next word out loud. song. The Lord is my song. Moses and the true believer among Israel knew this glorious truth. Therefore, they led all the people in declaring the glorious truth. And here's what they said. The Lord is my song. That means this today. Listen, friend. This is not just for them. This is for you and I today. You and I have a song. The Bible says it like this. Psalm 28, verse number 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart gladly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. Psalm chapter 69 and verse number 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm chapter 47 and verse number 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto the King. Listen now. Sing praises. Psalm chapter 7 and verse number 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. Listen, there are songs that promote everything. You and I ought to be promoting our Abba Father. Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 3. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Psalm chapter 98 and verse number 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. That means this, right here at Cross Point Baptist Church, our music ought to sing praise and glorify and lift up not the flesh, not us, not our surroundings. No, it ought to magnify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if the psalmist can say it, and if Moses and the people can say it, that means this, if you're saved today, you and I ought not to be too high and haughty and heady and I just don't have a good voice. No, if the Bible says sing, then you and I ought to sing. Just sing. That last hymn we sang, just two verses, Jesus saves. Are we too good to sing Jesus saves? Oh, time out. Uh-oh. Yeah, we're so big, we're so worried about everything else and what other people are going to think. No, we ought to lift our praise and honor to him. Well, I don't know the song. We'll sing it and sing it and sing it. I promise you. There's songs, Pastor Chris, I told you last week. This is a song we had never sung before. By the fourth verse, to be honest with you, I don't even have a great memory, but I was singing it pretty well. And it's not about my voice anyways. Don't say amen right there, okay? But it's not about me anyways. It's about him. When you got saved, he put a new song in your mouth. Look, he put a pep in our step. He gave us a new life. He made us a new creature. How dare us not sing to him? Say, Pastor, are you looking around at who is not singing? No. To be honest with you, I'm really not. I don't know. I'm not marking down. Oh, so-and-so's not singing. And so you mark that down. Pastor Chris, let's get after him. And, she's not singing today. Very interesting. To be honest with you, I'm not. I'm not. But I tell you who is roaming this place. The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows whether it be pride or arrogancy or a hurt heart or a lost soul. He knows what category we fall in when we come together to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and a person sits there with their arms folded and I'm too good for this and I don't. Look, friend, I'll just be honest with you. I'm never going to be the type of pastor that follows and looks and I can't believe, well, they can't be a deacon because they don't sing. Here's all I'm going to say about this. If you're saved today, we ought to lift our voices to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Praise him. I love that song. Praise him, tell of his excellence. Look, I could sing, you would not want me to, but I could sing song after song after song that talks about what? Just how good God is. Just how good he is to you and to me. Understand that Moses pins for us here and says, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my song. Look at verse number 2 here, look what it says. And he is become my, would you say that next word out loud? Salvation. The Lord has become my salvation. You see, the enemies of this world, including evil men and sin and death and hell, are always attacking and threatening the believer. But God, the believer Savior, will deliver and save the believer from that which opposes him. But you and I comprehend today, and in just a moment we're going to have Christy, who's going to be baptized, and in just a moment we're going to have little Parker, who's going to be baptized. Comprehend this today, friend. As we have two people that are going to step up here and be baptized today, comprehend this. These waters do not save them. That water is not their salvation. This pastor is not their salvation. This building is not their salvation. Somebody help me out with an amen today. But listen to this. I tell you what saved these two individuals, although very different family trees, although very different life stages. Do you know what saved these two, young Parker and Miss Chrissy? Here's what saved them. The Lord Jesus Christ saved them. You put aside for a moment everything that you've heard. Well, this person said this. Well, mom and dad believe this. Well, grandma and grandpa told me this. Well, the television evangelist said this. Well, the church down the street said this. Excuse me, friend. I just be honest with you. When it comes to eternity, I'm not real interested in what mom and dad or grandma or grandpa or the church down the street or religion or some deacon or priest or some pastor said. No, friend, give me the very word of God when it comes to salvation. Why? Because the word of God is clear. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I hope I get there, and I hope I'm a good person, and I'm just really trusting that the morality that I carry. Let me tell you something, friend. If you lived a million lifetimes and were the most moral person, it would not be enough to get you into heaven. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through the very blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Pastor, that's good and that's great, but it's you don't know who I am. You don't know the scars I've carried. You don't know the people I've hurt. You don't know the amount of time I've spent in prison. You don't know how many times I've been divorced. You don't know how many addictions I have. Friend, let me tell you something. I don't, but he does. And he said, I love you. He said, no, stop. He said, I love you. And here's what the Bible says. Well, my friend said that God chooses and picks some. Oh, man, I don't have the time, but let me just put it this way. Garbage, baloney, it's not the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know whosoever means? Anybody, everybody, you, me, sitting in this room today, give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But look what verse number 2 says. Look at it with me. Watch what it says here. It says this. Oh, the Lord's the strength and song has become my salvation. Watch this. And he is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation. Israel goes through this really incredible miracle. I mean, like God really worked. I mean, they watched it. They watch this east wind come. They watch the sea become as a mountain. They walk through on dry land. This doesn't happen. This is weird. Look, I don't have time. Man, time goes so fast, but it's so good. But it's always my imagination, but can you imagine? Just imagine for a second being there. Here you can hear the war cries coming behind you. And they're not here to play Nerf war. The Egyptians are going to kill you. And in front of you, you got to see, and all of a sudden, spreads, shows his staff. Here's Moses. Boom. The waters part. Big wind comes in. The waters mount up, and you're walking through. Some historians say it could have been up to 50, 60, 70 feet high, the water on either side. Now, I don't know about y'all, but at this point, I'm running. Like running. Come on, kids, let's go. Sorry, Palencius, we're first. Oh, sorry, Pastor Fitzgerald, sorry about that. Oh, little kids, you'll understand. You've been on a plane before, haven't you? Let's go, kids, hurry up, let's roll. I'm like, that's me, man, I'm running. And we get to the other side, I'm like, come on, hurry up. Oh, it's coming. You know, I'd be scaring people, like, ah, just kidding. Oh, it's coming. Nah, just joking around like that. That's it. And they get to the other side, and here's what they do. They begin to praise God for what he's done. And here's what they say. Yeah, he's my strength. Yes, he's my song. Yes, yes. Okay, he is, but check this out. This is what they say more. He's my salvation, absolutely. But the Lord is my God. This miracle had just taken place, and it was time for God's people to reaffirm their faith and declare that God is God. They said, I'm gonna prepare him a habitation. Now, friend, what if we really live that life? Now, hold on, Brother Steve, watch this. What if you and I really live that life? Josh, not just get up here and we sing it, but what if the Shepherd family and the Gear family, what if we really lived like God was our God? Mel, what would happen in our families if you and I really trusted and said, you know what, me and Carrie, we're going to live like God is really our God. Brother Titus, let me tell you something. This place would be turned upside down. Well, we do, but do we? We go through tough times. We've come through miracles. We've seen it over and over. We've seen God work in our life. No matter what stage of that storm we're in, what is our attitude? Because the God I feel like that you and I serve today is not the God that they just are proclaiming. If it was the same God, then that would be our cry. That would be our prayer. That would be our testimony. That would be who Cross Point Baptist Church families, Christians, that's who we would be. It'd be written on our very lives and in the very fiber that we have. Check it out. That's who we would live. No matter what, check it out. No matter what, God is my God. But we don't do that. I'm afraid even today we come before him and here's what we say. Well, I like that and I like the Bible and all, but just to be honest with you, I mean, if I'm going to say it, I can't figure it out. But if we had the attitude that this is our God, here's what our God says. Don't worry about it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I'll direct your paths. If this is our God, then why are we saying, well, I'm just too tired. I'm so tired. Because that God, our God, the one true God, says this in Matthew 11, 28, I'm going to give you rest. Our excuse is, it's impossible. God says, no, all things are possible through me. Luke chapter 8, verse number 27. We as Christians say, well, nobody loves me. John 3, 16, God says, excuse me, I love you. We say, well, I just can't forgive myself. I've done this sin so many times. I don't know how I'm going to overcome it. I just can't pull myself to say, you know, that I'm over it or I can move on or press toward the mark. I'm just going to put it like this. Well, I can't forgive myself. Here's what God says in Romans 8, 1. He says, I forgive you. Some Christians, they say, well, it's just not worth it. And God says, it'll be worth it all in Romans 8, 28. Some say, well, I'm just not smart enough. He says, watch this. I'll give you wisdom in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 30. There's many a Christian today that say, well, I'm not able. He says, you don't worry about it. I'm able in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. There's some that say, well, I just can't do it. And God says, you can do it because you can do all things through me in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Some say, well, I just can't manage. And God says, that's okay. I'll supply all your needs in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. There are many, check it out today, that say, oh, but the news and Fox and CNN, oh, I'm so afraid. He says this, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I just feel all alone. Don't you fear. I've not given you the spirit of fear. Check it out, friend. He is God. Let me say it again. He is God. He is the answer. He is, watch now, he is everything. His title is answer. His title is the solution. His title is the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher. He is the fullness of the Godhead. He is everything you and I need in this life. And yet, he listens. Now, did you hear that? He He's everything we need. And yet, he listens. Oh, Moses. Oh, no. Here comes the Egyptians. Thanks a lot, Moses. Thanks a lot. You brought us out of Egypt. Now we're going to die by their swords out here in the desert. Oh! If you and I were God, after like performing 10 miracles, would you and I not just write them like, you know what, and just kill them all? Some of you are like, oh, that's so awful. Yeah, right. You know deep down. You know deep down. Complainers, complain. But yet, here's God listening. He's listening. Why? Because he's God. It's who he is, and it's what he does. It doesn't matter what you're going through today. It doesn't matter how surmountable the problem seems. He's got you. He's God. They come through this awesome miracle, and here's Moses. Okay, let's bust out. Let's sing. Let's sing. You could tell they weren't Baptists because nobody was debating who's going to write it and who did this and what. They're not fighting each other. Here's what they're going to do. Okay, let's get together. Let's sing. What are we going to sing about? Well, let's just sing that he showed us an incredible miracle. And let's sing about who he is. But have you ever wondered how they knew? How'd they know God? How'd they know him? Look at verse number 2, and we'll be done this morning. Look at verse number 2, and I'm almost done, but I'll show your Bibles. Watch what it says. In the middle of that verse, it says, and he is my God. I'll prepare him an habitation. Watch this. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. It was their Father's God. Their fathers had taught them to believe in God. And the great promises for 400 years had been passed down. Therefore, the Israelites at this moment declared that they were committing themselves to follow the God of their fathers. Do you see it? Watch. Psalm 145, verse number 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Why is it that a 8-year-old can stand in the pulpit, carry week after week, you and I, we've hazarded our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it? For God? Absolutely. But I tell you why. Added to that is because of generations that have gone on before us. And men like Pastor Defoe who have stood and drawn the sword and held the banner high and have gone through difficult situations, including a major stroke in his life. And yet, you can't keep him out of this place. In fact, Pastor Defoe, to be honest with you, I never forget the first snow we had here last year, and it was actually a pretty big one. Don't make fun of me. I'm telling you, it was like 6 inches of snow. So we're out there. I'm like, man, here goes all of our old people. None of them are going to be here tonight. And I'm pulling in the parking lot, and there's Pastor Defoe. Dropped Miss Shan off. They're walking inside, just walking through the snow. Let me tell you something. That's the men and women we need in our life. Parent, don't you stop. Grandparent, don't you stop. Well, they're not saved. We're not. Don't stop now. You just keep handing it down. I don't know why my kids don't praise God. I don't know why they don't like it. I'll tell you why. Because we come into church service and during the song service, here's why we stand. I don't know. I don't know why they won't be in their Bibles. We come to reading the Word of God. Oh, yeah, I forgot my Bible. Don't worry about it. Uh-oh. I don't know why they don't like pastors or deacons or Sunday school teachers. Because every time we get in the car, we tear them up and rip them down. That's all we talk about. But here's a generation that just came through this incredible miracle. And here's what they say. Oh, we're going to sing and we're going to exalt him and we're going to praise him. And let's get together, the men and the boys and the girls and the women, and let's just exalt his name. Who cares what everybody else is doing? Who cares what everybody else thinks? Who cares what the world is? Well, what their input on it. Let's just get together and praise God. How did they know how to praise God? Because their fathers had handed down their relationship after 400 years. They still knew it. Can I just ask you something? We're done. What if God tarries another 400 years before he comes back? Pastor, you think that's going to happen? I really don't, but God can do whatever he wants. He's God. What will generations from the young people that sit here today, what will they hand down and hand down and hand down and hand down? Teenager, what will you hand? Parent, what will you hand? Grandparent, what will you hand over? College student, what's your testimony? I think as we head into one of my favorite times of year, Thanksgiving, I know, and then Christmas, our testimony ought to be, you ready for this? God. Yeah, you know, I think we ought to, stop, no, woo, God. Yeah, but I think we can add, no. Our testimony ought to be God. And maybe today, gentlemen, maybe today, ladies, call a shooter. We just take a moment and just on our knees say this. I just want to give you praise. What if we just stop right now and just said, Lord, be my strength. I need you. Be my salvation. God, be who you are over and over and over again in my life. What if we as a congregation just started living just like the Israelites at this time? It's all about God.